Only no that ever really stopped me is my own.
No's aren't that bad when you don't take them personally.
And it's just a matter of not telling myself no.
It's a certain point in time where I get tired of hearing no.
Why didn't we choose like an easier route?
What's moving me closer to God? That's it. There's literally nothing else.
I only receive no if it's out of alignment.
You know, if God wanted me to do this with more, he would have given me more.
I think that it's simple. I don't think that it's easy.
Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.
Action. We go through the majority of our lives mainly hearing no. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing wrong with hearing no. But what makes the no so bad is that we rarely learn how to tell ourselves yes. So that's what we're discussing. The no. The no's of life.
I think what makes the no so bad is like that we be saying no, 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 no. When it's really yeah. Sorry, it just hit. I didn't really have nothing.
Wow. You know, how did I know she ain't have nothing to say after that? She just wanted to get that off.
I did. I was thinking about it.
I was like, I feel like there's nothing that's following this.
Sorry. Oh, real thoughts. You go.
Well, okay. So, I just want to make sure. Is there an actual question, or is it just we're just discussing like how we feel about like why are we telling ourselves no? I just want to make sure I'm answering.
Oh yeah, it wasn't a specific question. Okay, it was just a thought.
Okay, gotcha. I think I'm more okay with no than I realized now in my life. Hmm. Because one, I definitely have heard no over the years, but I think for me, I haven't been taking it personal. And I think most of the time, we take no's personally. Like, a no for us, at least when we're growing up, it feels like somebody tells you no, that means something is wrong with me. And to be honest, that's not what they said. They just said no to whatever it is that you were offering or you were asking for. Mm-hmm. And so I've tried to do my best to not take no's personally. No's aren't that bad when you don't take them personally.
I will say that I'm just now learning not to take no's personally. I think most of my life, I've taken it personally. And so I looked at no's as a bad thing. Even though, like, you know, you had the saying where it's like, a no is not always a no, it's like a redirection or stuff like that. And it's like, I very well knew that, but then I'm also like, I took it as like, you just rejected me, or my thing, or like whatever it was, or the no was connected to some very personal reason. And I think one of the things that helped me, I mean, of course, me learning to let go helped me to not take the no as personally. But one of the things that really helped me was when we were talking to Dad, and he said that no was his default answer. Because then so many things made sense. Because my dad would say no without asking any questions, without really knowing what we just asked. I don't even know. I think we had asked him about going to Slutty Vegan or something like that.
Yep.
And he said no, like real quick, and was like, and then he started asking questions because we was like, why you say no? You don't even know what Slutty Vegan is. Like, are you not hungry? Are you like, because we just talked about getting some food and I just made a suggestion. So why would you say no? And then we started talking about it. And he was like, that's just his default answer. So it's like, if he don't got nothing else or he don't know nothing about it or anything, like, he just going to say no. Even if he knows about it, because he did know about Slutty Vegan, we found out. It was just a reflex to just say no. And then we wound up getting Slutty Vegan, but that just put into perspective, like, oh, I can't take this as a personal attack, because if it's something that you just innately do or a habit that you've developed to tell me no for no reason, then, like, it's not a me thing, it's a you thing. So, yeah, that's That's how I feel. I think now I don't necessarily see them as a bad thing, but for a long time I did, because it felt like it felt like a rejection.
I feel like no's are amazing to a certain extent. So I, in my opinion, or at least for me, it's a certain point in time where I get tired of hearing no.
Yeah, they don't want to punch you.
It's a certain level of no's, external no's, mm-hmm. that I can accept. Before, now it's like, I'm gonna just do it myself. I'm not asking for nothing. I don't even want to be around anymore. I'm gonna just do it myself.
What's your number?
I don't have an exact number. Mm-hmm. It's just a feeling.
Oh. It's a vibe thing. Okay. When you get there, you just be like, this was the last, that yesterday, 5 would have been the last straw, but today, that 35th one, woo! Swing on somebody.
I'm at that point now with like work, like jobs and stuff. Mm. Just because I can understand people telling me no if the people that already worked there were better than me. So now it's like a slap in the face, because the way people work piss me off, because they don't like, what is this?
Numbers in my book. Sorry. Do you have a number?
No.
I think generally my number is 2.
2 no's and then you explode?
Yes. And then I'll be like, I'm doing myself. I don't explode externally, but in my head, I'll be like, you know what? F this. I'm going to just do this myself.
I feel like I don't encounter too many people or things that tell me no. I feel like most of the time I might get maybe like 1 or 2 and then it just kind of works out. I don't know.
Yeah, that's when I'll be like, I'm going to do this myself. And then it works out.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's not even a no. I just ask twice, and if it doesn't get done, in my head it's a no, and then I'm like, I'm just going to do it myself. Yeah. F this. I'm going to do it myself. Yeah.
Or I think the only other times I've been told no is when I didn't actually want to do it. Anytime I actually wanted to do something, I don't usually get told no. If I want to do something, then, or if I don't want to do something, somewhere along the line, they'll be like, yeah, we're not going to go. Oh, well, cool. That's fine. I ain't really want to do this.
Yeah, I think I received a lot more external no's when I was younger because I was with my parents. Mm-hmm. But like as an adult, I mean, from a job standpoint, I think that's like the most where I would even receive a no, just because of like the things that I'm pursuing. And the lifestyle that I'm living is just like, I'm not necessarily looking for a yes or a no from people in most scenarios. Like, even like the podcast, we do it ourselves. So it's like, what you want? You can only tell me no that maybe you can't edit it, but you can't tell me no, I can't be on my own podcast. Because if y'all told me that, I'm shutting this whole thing down.
The boys.
Oh man.
But I was just gonna say, to the point Damani made about only getting told no if it's stuff that he actually don't want to do, I feel like the no's that I'll be receiving, I only receive no if it's out of alignment. So let's go with what you were saying. I only receive no's if it's out of alignment. So if we go back to the jobs, I don't really want to work, but for what I'm doing and how I want to do things, it's multiple ways to skin a cat. Mm-hmm. For the oldies out there, the old heads out there. But the first thing that I think of to resolve the issue that I feel like I have, or to solve the problem that I feel like I'm facing, is let me go get a job so I can have more money, so I can fund whatever it is that I'm doing, whatever it is that I want to do. But people making money without going to work. Mm-hmm. If I'm creative, I can create something that's going to make me money to fund whatever it is that I want to do. I have all this experience, all this schooling, knowledge. I read all the books, wrote the papers. I did it all. I know how to fill out applications for things. If I could fill out a job application, you could fill out a grant application. And like just stuff like that. But I say that to say, like dad's default answer is no to everything. My default answer or my default response to everything is I gotta get a job. I just don't got the money for it. That's why I can't do it. That's why it's not happening. I need more money. Mm. I need. But when you feel like you need, you telling yourself that you don't have. Mm. But if I'm divinely protected, divinely covered, and divinely supported, I always have.
Divine.
Oh, never mind. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say
divinely Devontae.
Yeah.
Brace.
That's hilarious.
Cut
divinely
that part out.
No, I can stay.
But I had a similar thought for me when I was thinking, like, I was just writing out, like, the kind of individual I wanted to be and stuff like that. And then a thought that I had was, you know, if God wanted me to do this with more, he would have given me more.
Bruh.
Right? It's not that I can't do it with more. At the moment, I'm just choosing not to do it with the tools that I have. So it's like, let me make sure that I just do it with what I have, right? And it's not that it can't be done. It's not even that it can't be done by me. It's just, I just haven't done it yet. Yeah. So it's just like me just recontextualizing like that idea. Also, when it comes to your dad saying no, I learned this from the writer of Never Split the Difference. No is actually a way for you to protect yourself. So he actually does that as well. So like when he was talking to his kids might ask him for something and he'll say no first. He'll be like, no. And then they'll be like, all right. He'll be like, all right, I can hear you now. It's like it's literally a form of protection because when somebody's trying to get you to say yes, you don't want to say yes. You actually want to say the opposite. So it puts you in a space where you can protect yourself first, and then now you're a lot more receptive to whatever it is. So y'all might have gotten more yeses if y'all would have pressed after you got the first no.
Oh, we did press.
But y'all let. I don't know how much y'all pressed.
It was still a no.
It probably was. Yeah.
It was a because I said so.
He seemed certain in those, but yeah, you know,
it was a. I don't need no more information. Mm-hmm. I said it, and it's enough.
I said what I said.
Yeah. I do feel like it was a protection, form of protection, but it was not no wiggle room after it was said, at least not with us. But going back to what you guys were saying earlier.
What's up? Talking about where we didn't need anything more.
Oh, yeah. Okay, whoo, because I was that thought was leaving the train station. All right.
Choo choo. Sorry, no, go
ahead. But about not needing anything more, I literally had a download earlier this week and was just like, it was just like, make it enough. Like, you've done more with less. So, what you have now, just make it enough.
I was just going to say to that point and to the original point of what Damani said. You don't need more because more isn't required.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even like the stuff that we're doing, it's not difficult. Like, people explain things in ways to make it sound a lot more difficult so we can go to them for the answer when we already have everything that we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just a matter of not telling myself no. So right. I know you mentioned that earlier. And I think that because of the idea of receiving the no so often, my default answer to myself became no.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can't because, or like maybe I still have that because I said so somewhere lingering in my mental. But it's like, okay, I've been telling myself, no, I can't. Once we get more, then, you know, but it's not a once something happens. It's once, just do it.
And before we got on here, this is the reason why I was smiling at the video. Because it's like, I'm already here.
Right.
Like,
I could do this. I can go outside.
I can go outside and lather and throw a shirt on while somebody in public, people going to walk past the camera and look at me if you're doing something outside.
With a camera.
I can just slow it down and make it look tantalizing.
But yeah, like all of this stuff, a lot of the stuff that we are looking to do, and this goes for like everybody, not just us sitting on this couch, but like, we already have access to. We've just been telling ourselves that we don't. And even the fact that even before we started the podcast, like before we got camera, well, we had cameras already, but like before we really knew what we were doing, it's like, okay, well, we can still record this on our phones because I know professional podcasts that literally just record their podcast on their iPhones. And it's just like, we have a lot more access than we give ourselves credit for, or we allow ourselves to see, because it looks so much more fancy. And of course, like, you got to learn stuff along the way. Ooh, Matt. Wow. Okay. I was talking to Damani earlier, and I was asking him, why did we choose the hard, like, why didn't we choose, like, an easier route?
As far as,
like, life, career, just, like,
we could have... What would be an easier route?
Like, something that was more spelled out, like phlebotomy, you know? Like...
But, do you know how to spell phlebotomy?
P-H-L-E-T.
No.
Huh?
You said E-T.
Oh, E-B. Phlebotomy.
O-T-O-M-Y. Phlebotomy, something like that. But I was asking. A lot of people be doing stuff that they don't even know how to spell. Like, everybody hate Chris' mom. She was like, if I can't spell it, I can't eat it. Mm-hmm. I don't need a drink or nothing I can't spell. Mm-hmm. Something like that. It said cappuccino. All right, go ahead, my bad.
He said sometimes we need to tell ourselves no because you can't spell it, so you don't need to be doing it. I would have been able to spell it if I was doing it.
Oh, right.
I know how to spell it. I just don't see it often.
Gotcha.
You know? So, but I was just asking him, why didn't we just pick a more simple route? And this just, I guess, clicked in my head of like, oh, this is why you didn't choose a simpler route, because you don't necessarily need all the things that you thought you needed, but you needed to go through what you went through so that you could build the skills to be the person that can flourish in this area.
Quiet as kept, we chose a simpler route.
How?
You make it up as you go. Like, you choose, you decide what it looked like. The only thing we got to do is get people to get, like, root for us. Like, people like us, right? So everybody's just waiting. This is what I was thinking about when I was in the shower. Like, imagine, like, a playoff game, right? And your team, Lakers in five. Mm-hmm. But your team is...
It didn't happen. They went home.
Yeah. They got knocked out.
Did not happen. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Like, it's like a playoff game, game seven, and people are watching us from the sidelines, just waiting for us, like, 10 seconds left. They pass you the ball. What you gonna do? You down one. Exactly. It's the same thing with your dreams and how you want to operate in life. We chose the easiest path for us. Like, if you were supposed to be a phlebotomist, you would have been in school. You'd probably still be in school.
Nuh-uh. They only had a 2-year program. I looked into it when I was in school because I was like, I need to know my options.
Crazy work.
That's funny.
It would have been a 2-year program. I'd already been doing... I probably would have been bored, though, if I'm being completely honest.
You probably would have had to go to a specific, you know, like a school that wasn't...
Yeah, I would have left...
You know, criminal justice / music /...
I would have left UNH.
Yeah, I feel like that wasn't really the school for phlebotomy.
It wasn't at all.
If that was going to be your plan B, you were not in position to do any of plan B.
I was headed back to Delaware.
But I was also going to say... What was one of the points that you said? What was the last thing you said, Brother Breeze?
The we playoffs.
Simple.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. He took my answer. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's simple because the choice that, I'll say for me, the choice that I'm making is what's moving me closer to God. That's it.
Ooh.
There's literally nothing else. Like, all right. Because this God is not a God of confusion. If I start getting confused, it's like, clearly God ain't in this one right here. Let me move somewhere else. Because sometimes you just have to move somewhere else. That's it. To make sure that you still tapped in. To the source!
Well. I think this is time where we pass the collection plate around.
Close the doors. Close the doors.
I forgot. Oh, man.
But yeah, no, it's just, the route is very simple because you were choosing to do things that make us feel closer to God. So it's like, if the choice was about anything else, it's like, it's a lot more that has to go into it. But it's like, what makes me feel more like me? What makes me feel the most like me? How can I use things that I'm already good at? It's a very simple choice. Everything else is a lot more simple.
I think it's
not easy.
Oh, but yeah. Like bad. I said, he stole my answer.
Gotta be quicker than that.
I was about to say it.
My bad.
I think that it's simple. I don't think that it's easy. Because it's not spelled out for you and it doesn't require the extra instruction from everyone else is why it's not easy. Because it in ways, it's easier to tell yourself no. It's easier to get discouraged. It's easier. Like, it's a harder thing because you're building yourself up constantly to be... to continue to be who you are. Like, you're going, in a sense, like, we've been going against the grain for a long time. Not everybody understands what we're doing. The people around us are seeing the work from the ground up, and most people don't actually see that. They're used to seeing the person who's already made it. So then when they're looking at us, they're like, well, this person did this, and this person did that. And it's like, well, number one, I'm not trying to do what that person did. Not in that way. But number two, you get on my nerves, get on my face. And then number three, it's a thing where I can't necessarily explain to you the number of things that I've had to spend time learning and focusing on to get to the point where it even looks okay or it starts to move me forward. I think there have been a lot of times where a lot of things where we had to like build up momentum for a lot of scary things, a lot of things that very easily could have told we could have said no to, or we could have, like, even when you're talking about, oh well, my default is to just get a job because I know a job, you know, I just need to pay for this, pay for that. Like, yes, because there are a lot of things that we have to pay for. But then it's also like, okay, are you paying with your money? Are you paying with your time? Or are you paying with both? So I think that it's simple in the respect of, yes, these are the things that bring us joy. These are the things that bring us peace. It's what we feel called to do. These are the things that bring us closer to God. But in a world where you see people going with what other people do more often than they go ahead and follow their creativity, in a world where you're told that when you do follow your creativity in whatever way, you're supposed to follow the blueprint of whoever the biggest artist was, even if you don't want to be in that lane, even if you don't want to do things the way that they do things, or even if you don't necessarily like how they do business, it is hard to encourage yourself to keep going. Because the only way to encourage yourself to keep going is to keep going. Which is simple, but it's not easy.
So I was going to say, I agree with you, what you said. But the thing, I feel like the thing that makes it not easy is the fact that we're finding ourselves along the way. So, like, if you was a phlebotomist, everything is already written out. You know you got to do this, and this. Take this class, take this course, go here, talk to this person. But you don't know who you are. So what we're doing the things that we love. That's easy. That comes easy. It comes natural. We're having fun. We're enjoying life. The difficult part becomes when, like, you're becoming. Like, you're on the journey of becoming while you're doing these things that you love. So it's not that it's difficult to do the things that you love. It's the inner work, the going against everybody else, everything else, the unlearning and relearning that you have to do in order to become what you are now.
That's what I said. But they're also doing that too. Like, people who choose other paths are also doing that too. They just, their career is more step by step.
Yeah. I was going to say, their career it's not a requirement for you to know yourself in order for you to be a phlebotomist. Like, that's not a requirement in the job details. You don't have to be like, I have to know who I am, know who I'm in this scenario. I have to notice. Like, you don't have to do that and still be successful. Yeah.
Right.
You would think. But you don't need to do that in order to be successful. In a lot of the creative endeavors, you have to, it's about you going and it's about you becoming more aware of who you are and being able to display that. And that requires a lot more, like, inner work, like you were talking about, and it requires you to be willing to go further inside of yourself in order to create the thing that you're looking for. So you, which is, and it's also not the case for everybody. There are some creatives that do not do any self work, any of it, they just found something that worked and they just continue to just just do that, which is fine. Kudos to y'all. But I think a lot of the requirements for being a creative in an artistic field, it's more so about you having a level of awareness of yourself in order for you to do the job that you're trying to do.
I feel like that goes back to our conversation about being an artist versus being a success. And that'll be linked up here. But just like the difference between, like, okay, an artist, a part of the artistry is finding yourself and becoming and expressing that, while being a success doesn't actually require that part, you know?
Yeah. I feel like in order to be a success,
just in general, like, it don't have to be an art, just in general, like, it doesn't necessarily require you to find yourself. You can be successful, like, a very successful, like, business person.
Well, I thought we said success and successful is different.
But you can...
Success is when it's complete. Successful is when...
Well, yeah, but at just a person, they can be a success and still not know who they are.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why we run into so many people that either got money or...
They got their life together.
Yeah, they got money and they don't got their actual life together, or they don't feel fulfilled, or they don't really, they're just learning who they are.
Or their family falling apart.
Yeah, we're like, you don't know this about yourself? Like, well, this is something that, like, I spent some years learning. It's like, you made it all the way to this level and you didn't have to do any of that work.
Right. So, what game was you playing?
Yeah, but it reminds me of a quote that I got from James Baldwin. He was like, nobody asked me to be a writer. Mm-hmm. Nobody came up to me and said, hey, yo, you gotta write. Here you go. Like, I chose this. So, like, anything that comes with it, I can't complain about it because I chose this. If I want to do something else, I can always do something else. But I chose to be this kind of individual. So everything that comes with it is what comes with it. So becoming, in order to be, like, this kind of creative, you got to do some self-work, which is it.
I'm going to counter what he said and say that if I complain about it, it must be in art form. It must be through the art, because sometimes you just got to get it out. Like, and that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. But I definitely agree with that. Nobody asked me to do this. Nobody was like, I might have asked, can I do this? But
and that was the only yes you got.
Yeah. That's hilarious. But, like, honestly, in the perspective of the no's, I think that when it came to this stuff, I probably told myself no a lot more than other people have told me no, because I would tell myself no before I even asked anybody else anything.
Yeah. So have y'all told yourself no more than anybody else because you're afraid of the feeling of rejection?
I guess so, because I ain't like when my dad told me no or my mom told me no, and I would just probably think because I said so, it was coming right after it. So
I said, you as well? Didn't want to just lump you in there because y'all grew up together.
Keep asking. Ask the question again.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that you told yourself no so that you didn't have to experience rejection from the other person?
I don't think so. I think it became my default answer to what I wanted to do.
So why? It's more so why I'm asking.
Like, if you hear no so much, you used to hear a no. So now I'm telling myself no because I didn't think there was
another answer.
So, like, a prime example, I actually wanted to go to school for fashion in Milan.
I was so excited. The idea
of that, I'm like, that's big thinking.
I said yes.
So no. Mm. I was like, let me just go with the logical thing. I'll stay in the United States, go get me a scholarship for track. I ran track. I'm an athlete. It's a D1 school. I mean.
But this is why I said it still sounds like, outside looking in, of course, but it still sounds like you were afraid of getting the rejection, like of hearing the no. So like, so I don't have to hear the no. I'll just say no for myself.
I think
that's what it sounds like, at least.
I don't think it was, so I don't hear the no. It could be an assumption. So if you keep hearing no, 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 don't do it. You keep hearing no, 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 no.
I was so confused too.
Automatically,
now I gotta do it.
I think the answer is gonna be no.
So you just, and again,
to a degree, it's like you brace yourself for rejection by rejecting and assuming that you weren't gonna get it anyway.
It's like I'm gonna break up with you before you break up with me.
Yeah, because if I don't feel like I'm in control of the situation, then I might say no. Like if I can't guarantee that I could make this happen, then it's gonna be like no. Because one, you hear no a lot, and then two, I don't want to ask for help.
When it's really yeah. I know you
want to
laugh.
We're having a serious conversation.
I think even the, and maybe it's not that you don't want to hear the no, right? Maybe it's the feeling, like the getting the feeling of the rejection. Because just based on how you're saying it, it's like, all right, I'm going to tell myself no because I don't want to have to ask for help and maybe not get help, right? Or ask for help and then they tell me no to the help, or me ask just flat out for what I want and they tell me no. All of that is really just, at the end of it, it's just how you're going to make yourself feel after you experience the no. So like before, it's really it's an interesting, and I'm not saying this to single you out or nothing, but like it's just interesting to me because like, to tell myself no just so I don't have to hear no, it's like you're still hearing no regardless of the fact. And you could have actually heard yes if you would have, but you never get a chance to hear yes if you tell yourself no.
Yeah, that's a fact. I was going to say, so people, it's easier in my mind. This is my logic. People typically say yes to things they understand. So it's easier to get for them to say yes if they understand it.
Okay.
So
that's
like,
that's making more sense.
So then, when it's like, this is big thinking.
Yeah, and you may not understand why I want to.
Yeah, I want to do this. I never even really mentioned anything about any of this.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, I don't even know how I had the idea, but I was like, oh, I want to go to Milan. I found a school and everything. I'm like, okay. But like, this is big thinking. I don't think anybody is actually going to understand when I could go to school in America, get a scholarship. I could probably get an academic scholarship if I apply myself, and I could get an athletic scholarship if I apply myself. And it's just like, and then even on top of that, I didn't even really want to go to school. But even going to school was a thing of, is what you're supposed to do.
Okay, so... So now I got two things, right? One, let's speak on percentage, right? So if you wanted to go to Milan for school, right? The percentage of you going there, if you ask, is really 50-50.
50-50, yeah.
The percentage of you going there, if you say no, is zero.
Mm-hmm.
So you never, like, you don't even get a chance. You're not even stepping in the gym.
I mean, at 17, you're not thinking about that.
But no, but 18, I understand. That's what I'm saying. I'm just, like, just thinking about it now. I don't know how that carried over for you now.
Even at that point, I'm looking at how much it's going to cost.
Yeah, which is understandable.
I was like, I'm coming to visit. Yeah. Do it.
And the other thing I was going to say was, and it's going to pretty much be a question for you guys, but like, has anybody's no ever stopped you for the things that you actually wanted?
Only no that ever really stopped me is my own. Like, for the things that I've actually wanted in life, like, I mean, even when I was a child, the no that I would get from my parents, I would then tell myself no.
Okay.
Right. But if there's anything that I actually wanted in life.
But even the things that, I'm sorry to cut you off, even the things that your parents told you no that you still wanted to do, I feel like there's things that you still did.
No, I was a good child.
Boo!
Like what? Things that they told me no that I still did?
I don't know. Listen, I wasn't there with you every single year. I met you in 2014.
2013.
It was 2013? We graduated in 2013. I thought it had to be.
The fall.
It was the fall?
Yeah.
All right. From 2013, pardon me.
I don't even know when we met.
2013 to then. But I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's something that your parents said no to that you still found a way to do.
I mean, yeah. But it was rare.
I don't think we got told no as often as.
Yeah, we wasn't, because I just wouldn't ask. I already told myself no. Like, said, I already
it's 50-50? Nah, it's going to be 0%. Right. I'm not even going to ask.
Oh, Erica said boo.
Thank you, see?
I mean, like, no, but I really was, They, after a while, like, they said no so much, I stopped asking for stuff.
Yeah, but it's very convenient for us, because we do have convenient memories, all of us, uh-huh. in order to prove ourselves right, because we don't like proving ourselves wrong, right? I feel like there's a bunch of things that, like, you guys don't realize that you did, regardless of, like, nobody told, like, people had told you no, and you still managed to do it.
I mean, some of the stuff I managed to do later, I was a good child too. Wink, wink. No, I was really a good child. No, but I think some of the stuff that I think when I got older, it was more stuff, but like, or stuff that I do now that I used to be told no.
And I mean, if you do it now, isn't it still the same? Like, you still did it.
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, like, you know, at the time, when I was little, the no was the no for me. But like I said, the no that really stopped me every time was always mine. Like, really thinking about it, even if they said no, I had to tell myself, like, I had to still tell myself no. For me to, like, actually not do it. But I just wound up telling myself no a lot. Like, you know? Mm. But I think what?
No, I'm just listening. I have something, but I'll let you finish.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, to be honest, I think that anything that you really wanted to do, like genuinely wanted to do with all of your heart and your soul, you ended up doing. Like, I feel like you probably can't give me an example of something that you really wanted to do in your life that you was like, you know what? Like, it, and the only reason you probably didn't do it is because you probably decided that, all right, I'm not going to do it anymore. But like, but if you really wanted to do it, so it sounds cliche, but you always find a way to do it at the end of the day.
That's what I said. I said yes.
Oh, okay.
The only no that has ever stopped me was my own.
I feel like there's even things that you told yourself no and you still ended up doing no.
Because then that means I wound up telling myself no. I mean, I wound up telling myself yes after. But, like, honestly, like, if I actually want something, then I know that I can have it regardless. Like, I'll do whatever I need to do to achieve it. Like, but for a long time, the no that I received or I expected was like, it stopped me. Like, the no that, but it always had to come from me. Like, mentally, I had to be the one to then be like, dang, well, we can't do it then. Mm. Or it's just not gonna happen. But a lot of times, like I said, my number be two. And then I'd be like, I'm gonna just do it myself. And then maybe I'll receive a consequence. And I'm not even talking about, like, nothing crazy, but, like, I moved the whole table when, you know, got a shoulder injury.
Lord have mercy.
I asked twice. It did not happen in the time frame that I needed to happen to, and so I moved it myself. do I regret it? No. Because we don't live with regrets.
Okay. All right.
No, but getting back on topic. Yeah, I feel like the only no that has ever stopped me, for real, has been my own. Like, if I actually want to do something, then I'm going to figure out a way to do it, even if it takes me 30 years.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. This. Same thing for me. And I was going to ask, is there anything that you guys are still telling yourselves no to?
No.
Yes, it'd be a lot of things that I have been telling myself no to, but I'm working on that. But at the end of the day, I get whatever I want and I do whatever I want. So that go back to the freedom and autonomy. I'm a lot freer and a lot more autonomous than I'll be saying I am or believing that I am, because I do whatever I want and I get whatever I want. It might take a couple extra days, but at the end of the day, they go in.
Amen.
Erica says, seriously, I can relate to Breeze and Sequoia. The no was understood from my mom.
This is not to say that I never heard no. I've heard plenty of no's. I just know that some of the no's, it's like, that was a no, but that wasn't like a no. Like, it was like a,
not those.
Yeah, he wasn't raised in fear.
Yeah.
Can't go to that good Baptist.
That good Baptist. You know, that Baptist, you know.
But even hearing, like, a strong no and knowing that I still want to do it, I'm leaving here with something. I'm leaving here with something. Like, that's just how I've always operated. Whether it's just the rebel spirit in me, where it's like, I'm going to do it just because you said I couldn't, that kind of thing.
I mean, so, like, in that perspective of, I don't know. So, like, I wasn't, like, a super rebellious child,
mm-hmm.
right? So, there were things, rebel spirit it is. There were things that, I could have rebelled. I could have been a rebellious child. I just decided not to be.
Mm-hmm.
So there were things and there was ways of thinking and there were questions that I just decided not to ask because I knew it was more so a fear thing than like, I don't want you to reject me part of it was the rejection part because even like with numerology, when I told you like years ago after I saw that Left Eye documentary, I was about to go heavy into numerology. I was like 12. But then I seen her die in that documentary and I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I should go that deep into this. But RIP Left Eye. But then also all I had in the back of my head was my parents saying, you know, possibly, not even that they've ever said this to me, but possibly thinking like, oh, this is of the devil. This is devil stuff or this is witchcraft or something like that. So like, I just never told anybody.
Mm.
Like, so some of the stuff is like, I told myself no in that scenario, even though like I was actually kind of interested in it. I was like into it for like a few weeks. And then I was like, you know, I don't want no spirits chasing me when I'm in Honduras. So
that's so interesting. Again, I've experienced the no's, but like based on what you guys have said, it almost sounds like you really only have like two options. Either you're gonna tell yourself no, or you're gonna tell everybody else no.
Yeah,
and you just have to decide in every moment. Like, all right, am I telling everybody else no, or am I telling me no?
And we weren't raised to tell everybody else no.
Yeah,
we were raised. We were raised to, you know, be there for everybody else. Like, you know, spend time with people, do things for people, da-da-da-da. Like, at least I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I was raised to. He looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm listening.
I know, but it just be the facial expression. Just, okay. I feel like we were raised, like, because we were raised always at church. Always, you know, help your neighbor, love thy neighbor, blah, 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 blah. Be there for family, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Those are good values, people, but also. Mm-hmm. Also. Yeah, I don't feel like I was raised to to say no to other people. So I always said no to myself so that I could always be there for other people.
Yeah. Now my life is like my, these years, my life is for me. Like the stuff that I'll be doing is for me. Mm-hmm. My room look how it look now for me. Mm. Got canvases on the wall mm-hmm. that I'm about to paint. It's just a bit creative. Shebang. Mm.
Erica said, did you all relocate to stop hearing the no?
That's a great question.
I relocated for love.
Mm. Yeah, he relocated for love. Or so you could stop telling yourself no.
Yeah. Probably the second one for me.
But I was just going to say, I found myself here. So regardless if I relocated or not, it was good that I relocated, but I found my voice being alone. Yeah, so it wasn't the relocating. It was me being, it was the isolation that I needed.
So you said the second one for you.
Yeah, out of the options, yeah, but you can go ahead.
You can explain your stuff first, and I go.
Maybe it's not even that because like I don't feel like I don't tell myself no to things that I want. I might be more afraid of the things that I want, and so it's not me telling myself a no. It's like, all right, I'm gonna do this later. It's like, all right, I'm gonna get to it, and so it wasn't really a no, it was more like I feel like we moved here more so just to for freedom. I know that sounds like I was Harriet Tubman or something, but like, yeah, move for freedom.
So I
my way to freedom. Freedom.
I don't think that the initial intention of relocating was to stop hearing no or to stop telling myself no. I did recently realize, like, this move was probably the first thing that I've actually done for myself for real, like, most of my life. But I think that the result of moving was that I was able to stop hearing no or stop telling myself no. I think that's what it was. I could stop telling myself no more so than anything. And yeah, still a hearing no, because it was annoying at that point. Because then it was like, all right, well, I'm grown, so you're actually not about to tell me no to this because you don't pay these bills over here. But yeah, so I can stop telling myself no, and stop, and I could start saying no to other people. I think that's one major thing that I found when moving is that I am very important. I literally am my top priority. And sometimes I forget, but it's a lot harder to forget when I'm here versus when I'm in Delaware or even in Jersey. Well, no, at your house, I was great. It was I had no responsibilities at your parents' house. Mm-hmm. No responsibilities. It was beautiful. But so, yeah, I think it was really so I could stop telling myself no. Because since we moved, especially last year, I was able to start doing a lot more things that I wanted to do. Even now, just having like the courage to do things that I want to do. And now realizing that a lot of my decisions were made with other people in mind. Even if it was like, even if it turned out good or it had good intentions behind it, I realized my detachment from certain things is because I said yes to what they wanted and said no to what I wanted at the time.
I was just going to say my biggest realization was about the no's, is that we get told no so much so we can learn how to tell ourselves yes, or so we can muster up the strength to actually tell ourselves yes to what we want. Mm-hmm. So we have to hear the no's, have to endure the no's, so we can get tired, fed up enough. To tell ourselves yes to what we actually supposed to be doing, what we actually want to do, and to actually be in alignment.
Yeah.
With us all! Amen!
But, yeah, I agree. And also, this is, I learned this from whoever wrote Not Nice, I can't remember his name right now.
Dr. Aziz Gazipour.
There we go, yeah. I read it from him. It wasn't in that book, but it was just the idea that no means no on the surface. No could just really, really just change the no to mean not yet. Mm-hmm. Or not from this person. Or not what you're offering right now. Like, no can change in 5 minutes. So, like, I could ask you, hey, do you want a cake? And you'd be like, no. And be like, all right, cool. In 5 minutes, you'd be like, I'll ask you again, do you want a cake? You're like, yeah, actually. And it's like, it had nothing to do with anything but how you were feeling as a person. So, like, it just can mean not yet or not from this person or, like, not in this moment. Mm-hmm. In the next moment, it could completely change. And so when I started looking at it like that, I'm like, all right, well, I mean, if it's just not yet, I got patience. You know what I'm saying? They used to say I had the patience of Job. I'm not that patient. But I got patience. I could wait it out a little bit, because especially if I know at the end of the day I'm going to get a yes. If the difference between me getting what I want and me not getting what I want is me just waiting, hey, bro, that's easy. That's easy money. Like, I just have to keep, like, not stop. Like, if that's the difference, oh, this is easy money. It's not like I have to do more. I have to be more. Just don't stop and just keep going. Like, all right, you said no, cool. You said no, cool. You said no, cool. Up, so, number 105, he said yes. And then after that, it's like, once one person say yes, well, oh, he said, oh, well, somebody else said yes to this. Maybe I should say it. This is easy, you know, but it took some years and a good book for me to figure that out. Right? Because I was not walking around here like that at all. I was definitely taking a lot of the no's personal. And I think when it comes to, I was definitely saying no to myself a lot more. And now in this space, if I have the choice between telling the world no and telling me no, you think I'm telling
them? Hell no!
Come on.
To the world? Listen here, America. Show me out of here.
Yeah, nah. It's not happening. See ya!
Okay. Erica said, you're all doing a great job. In case no one has told you all, the dedication you all show is motivational to others. Oh, Thank you.
About to make me tear up in here.
This is something that, like, I don't know, I guess you've been watching the process of us learning to stop saying no to ourselves. Like, you've been here on the full journey of us starting to tell ourselves yes and tell the world no and all of that stuff. And even taking breaks, but still pushing, still going. And you are appreciated. Like, really, we thank you so much.
Definitely, no,
honestly, you've been a pivotal part of this journey. So we definitely appreciate you more than you know. But I will say that the idea, I'm really thinking about just, she said thank you. I'm really thinking about, like, just like the idea of hearing no and like how often I've heard no. And I going back to your question of, I don't even remember what question it was, but I feel like I heard more no's within my family than outside of, like, from the outside world. So I think that is why that became like my default answer for me, because that's what I heard within my family structure. Not necessarily always like just my parents, but just like within my family, there were like no's, or just like, this is stupid, or like da 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 da. Love them, yeah. But mm-hmm. Also, what was you about to say?
I was gonna say, even a this is like that stupid, technically speaking, that's still not even a no.
It's not. it's really not. But like, when you internalize it as a rejection, so then when any critique, starts to feel like a rejection of some sort, because mm-hmm. even like, especially when it's not constructive, mm-hmm. like, you're not telling me how to do better, you're just telling me stop, you know. And that's probably why in the one episode when we was talking about if they can't do music, if they couldn't do music, if they wasn't good at it, then we probably wouldn't date them.
Crazy.
I recant that statement.
Now thinking about it, it's like, oh, dang, that's perpetuating a cycle that was instilled in us. We was trained that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jive turkey.
Free sucker. What's your modus operandi?
I had that, now you know what I'm
saying. But, like, thinking about it now, it's just like, oh, okay. Like, I think now I have more of a full understanding of who I am and what decisions I want to make. And that literally is because I had to realize how much I was telling myself no. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of my no's became not yet's, too. Because mm-hmm. a lot of the stuff that I told myself no to in the past, I'm doing now. I just don't have the extra people. Like, that's dumb. Or why would you do that? Like, mm-hmm. I don't have anybody to, I don't got to explain nothing to nobody. I think that was also why I was telling myself no. Because I don't know how to explain this to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can so understand that. Because having to explain the idea, you'd be like, all right, you can get a yes, you just have to explain it. I gotta come up with a PowerPoint and five. I know my father wanted to see five, he wanted me to cite my sources, and he wanted me to get a reference, and it'd be like, bro, this is
yeah,
all I got is the sauce. What you want me to do? That's the only sauce I got.
Talk to him.
You want me to get, I don't have five of them, I only got one,
right? So I think that was another thing that was like keeping me from doing certain things, because it made me feel like I had to have an explanation for myself too, because I have to be able to explain this, because if they ask me what I'm doing or da 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 da, it's like now I have the opportunity to just kind of do stuff. And then I can see if there comes about an explanation afterwards, or I can just see if it work or not. And either I'm happy or I'm like, let's do it again. Especially even with like cooking and stuff like that, or eating better, or the music, or I've painted paintings here that, you know, they don't look like Breeze's paintings. Okay. I just say that.
They better.
But I did them, and
self-expression.
I didn't have to explain it to anybody, because it was just self-expression.
And they hung
up
on the wall.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I hung them up on the wall. Ain't nobody asked no questions. People come and visit. They just look at the paintings, and then they see Breeze's paintings, and I was like, oh, okay, he didn't do those ones. That was
this is his early work.
And it's crazy because nobody says none of
that. Nobody says anything.
Look at the internal conversation she just had when somebody came in and they looked at the painting. Like, nobody said a word. They just.
I do that a lot.
And people only see my paintings if they come in here.
Oh, yeah.
And they see it from like a distance.
And they be like, oh, that man got an art show in there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but it's just like I'm able to express myself a lot more than I was in the past. And that's also because I'm not thinking about or looking for acceptance from anywhere outside of me. So I don't have to tell myself no, because I don't want to tell myself no. But I do tell myself no to certain things that are not good for me. Like, I had to tell myself no to chocolate the other day.
Because
I didn't want no more pimples on my forehead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, them things be bad. Mm-hmm.
And they be lingering too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like but that wasn't a no just to say no. That was me saying yes to clear skin and yes to liking how my face looks. So I choose to say yes to more of the things that I actually want. So it's just different now.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to becoming. Have to say yes to the things that align with where you're going or how you see yourself, and say no to the past. Well, the things that's going to lead you back to the past versions of you. It's this video that I'll be listening to, and he'll be talking about burning the bridge to the past versions of you that no longer serve you. And that's the bridges that you need to burn. So the people who actually get what they are going for are the people who are moving through life and not giving themselves the option to turn back.
That's so difficult. It's difficult, but it's simple. Because
you just gotta change your verbiage. Take that word difficult out.
And change it with what? What am I swapping it with? You got to give me an alternative. That's so easy. It's so easy, y'all.
And you say, oh, sorry, you gotta sell them something.
Yeah, it's so easy.
So easy. You even a caveman could do it. No, but like just thinking about the idea of burning the bridge to your, like your, this part, this what?
She said, burning the bridge. It's so easy. I forgot this step. Go ahead. What's the question?
Burning the bridges to the old versions of yourself that no longer serve you.
Okay, it's such a complex thing.
That's it.
Okay,
that's it.
It is complex because of the nuances of who we are as people. I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I feel like you said this statement like last week, randomly, and I've been working on doing that. I like to call it releasing those parts. I think the idea of burning the bridge makes it sound so much more permanent, and it's scary, essentially, because it's like you start to have these thoughts of like, what if I need that part of me?
When was the last time you used it?
I don't know.
Hey, you know what, I know something
productively.
What I was gonna say was something that I actually learned about that, because that was like a really big fear for me when it came to a lot of the stuff that I was creating. It was like, oh, I was gonna get to a space where I wouldn't be able to turn back. That's also why I wasn't doing drugs, because I was like, dang, what if I can't think the same way and I can't get back to how I was thinking? I'm gonna be so upset. I'm like, dang, used to think in colors, now I'm thinking in shapes. Like, what? Like, I miss the colors. But what I realized about it was that you're actually always able to go back there if you need to. Like, it's because it would take a certain level of you immersing yourself in the energy. Because I noticed, this is just a random thing that happened to me, but like, as the weeks were going by, right, one of the days I was looking for a YouTube video because I was trying to write to a verse. And then I was like seeing all of the things that I had watched, and then like all of the old thoughts that I was having were like, they just came right back, all of the same feelings. Like, and I was like, oh wow, if I wanted to get back into that groove, I would just have to do some of those same things. So like, if you ever needed to get to a space to do some of that same stuff, you could do it. Granted, I don't think you need to go back to the bad habits, but like, if you needed to be more aggressive and you needed to figure out how to do that, tapping back into that same energy. It's energy. So it's like you can always tap back into that energy, just in a different way.
Eric will say drugs.
Listen, people be talking about drugs and they be talking about they changing their brain chemistry and they never think the same. I was like, oh, that's enough of a deterrent. I like the way I think. Right. It's like, and it's no guarantee that I'm gonna like the new version. I'm gonna just have to figure it out as a...
You gotta start over.
Y'all can have that. I'll take my water. Fruit. The things that God gave us.
I was just going to say, that was the other thing that I was going to say about it being complex, is when you are working to release that part of you, it's a lot of, I don't want to call them triggers, but there are a lot of things that remind you of that energy or that space that you were in.
Just because that version of you is fighting for a space, like they want to stay.
Yeah, but even just like looking around like your room or seeing different clothes or different things like that, it's just interesting. As I'm getting rid of things, like as I'm removing things, it's just certain things that I look at, even like my old keyboard. I now look at it today and be like, dang, I remember when I wrote Shakespeare on that keyboard, but also just remembering, okay, during that time I was getting keyboard lessons from, like, I started getting keyboard lessons and then I wasn't getting keyboard lessons, and just like the thought process behind it and like why I held on to it for so long and da 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 da, and that stuff can easily pull you back in, because we also have this thing about us where we're like, oh well, we tell people never change. Like, always, you know, be the same. Like, people that we like, that would used to be a thing that we wrote in people's yearbooks.
Yeah, never change. And it's like, whoa.
It's like, never it's like, change.
Did you just curse me?
Yeah.
You just tell me to not change and not grow and evolve.
But you don't look at it like that until until you get older and you start to realize, like, oh, no, I need to change. I need to be a different person. I need to be a better person. And just realizing the different things that you also have can take you back to the different parts of who you are and that energy and all that stuff. It's just, so I think that it makes it a more complex process than, like, just, I'm gonna just burn the bridge. Because, I mean, it's a metaphorical bridge anyway, so it's like, how do you actually burn the bridge?
I think the burning the bridge part is the doing things that you weren't doing before.
Yeah, it's just decision. Making a decision to not go back. I have no option to go back. I have to decide to continue to move forward. I have to decide that this is what I'm doing. So, like, yeah, when people be like, I never had a plan B, that's why it worked, because it had to.
Oh, okay, so that's like burning the bridge. I thought we were actually going to purge something.
All right, don't do that one.
I did that. I wrote out my doubts and fears and stuff and, like, the things that I felt like were holding me back that I need to release, and I burnt the index card that I put it on. Right. I did that live in the Patreon. So join the Patreon so you guys can experience those things safely.
What was thing? One of y'all was saying something right before we got on this
burn after writing.
I said there's no plan B.
Oh, yeah, and this, it actually circles right back to what I was saying before, like, the people who don't have a plan B, they didn't take no for an answer at all. Like, and they really, yeah. But not even just that they couldn't, they wouldn't. Like, I believe this is gonna work so much that I'm willing to cut off all of the other options because I know it's gonna work. And it's like, I don't care how many people tell me no, I'm gonna do this. I don't care how long it takes me, I'm going to do this. And I think we carry that with us from kids. Like, there are certain things that we've done that no matter our parents told us not to do it, all of the elders told us not to do it, the friends told us not to do it, and we still did it anyway. And it was like, anything that you actually put your mind to and, like, you put your heart and your soul into, I personally feel like it works out because it has to. Like, it's just like, all right, because I feel like it's a dominant energy. And, like, that energy is like, I'm not willing to stop until I get here. And if I get here and I find out that that this isn't what I want, that's cool. But I've already decided I'm not going to stop. And I think that's the same thing. Like, that's how you get to the point where you're okay with no's. Because it's like, all right, well, I mean, I'm still going to get it. I'm still going to get the Mercedes. I may not want it after I get it, but I'm going to get the Mercedes. Please. GLE. No, I'm playing.
GLE.
Yeah, it was just.
That's a series.
Yeah.
Oh.
Peanut butter seats.
Clearly, I don't know.
I might not want peanut butter seats later. Maybe I want mahogany. Maybe I want white. Who knows? But I'm going to get it. I don't even know if I want a Mercedes right now. I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't know. I don't know. I like my Honda. But this also, I feel like it's going to lead into a topic for next week. So, do you guys have any final thoughts on saying no, hearing no, or feeling no?
No.
Good
like
one.
That, yeah. Shout out to the top.
Tell the world no so you can tell yourself yes.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to leave y'all with. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.
Tell somebody.
Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. And thank you for joining us for another episode of the Gray Area Podcast. I'm Shakoya D.
Badman Breezington here.
Yeah, I'm a friend of Monty.
And join our Patreon if you want to join us for this conversation. If you want to watch the podcast live and early, because we do record the podcast at least 1 to 2 months in advance. Join the Patreon. The link is in the description. Also, check out everything else we got going on. We got paintings. We have music. We have journals. Oh, and join the Bubble Discord. The link will be in the description as well. But we will see you guys next week. If you like this episode, you're going to love the one that's linked up on the screen. See you.
Ooh. Adios.
Stay blessed. Stay black, people.
You say what?
And know yourself. Know your worth. Jukebox, give me another J.
Get on my face. Get on my. Get on my.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.